On most days, around 6:30, Sandy Jenkins would wake up without an alarm and linger for just a few minutes in silence. This was one of the best parts of his day, a time when life seemed full of possibility. He didn't sketch out plans or set goals. Preparation wasn't his strong suit. In those quiet moments, he would lie there and fantasize. He imagined a life filled with travel and prestigious pursuits, scenes set to soaring arias or violins. Maybe he'd be stepping off a private plane, squinting into the distance at a mountain range. Maybe he'd be strutting down a street in some exotic locale while people smiled deferentially. He'd play those fantasies in his head until, at 6:35, he placed them on pause for later. One morning in December 2004, he slid his legs out of bed, petted his miniature dachshund, Maggie, and stumbled downstairs to make coffee. He preferred it strong and black and poured into a fine china cup. After returning to bed, he and his wife, Kay, watched Good Morning America. He liked Robin Roberts. Then he ate breakfast, showered, slipped on his Rolex, surveyed his close-cropped hair for any sign that it was getting too long and kinky, like his father's, and wandered over to his closet. He picked out a pair of slacks and then studied his selection of polo shirts from Dillard's and Foley's, pondering the same choice he faced just about every day, black or gray. Despite his color preferences, he wasn't macabre, not really. It's true that he'd often dreamed of becoming the director of a funeral home, but his fixation had little to do with death. Rather, he coveted the sharp outfits, the rich backdrop, the immaculate black cars, the eloquence and reverent tones. Funeral homes didn't use chintzy stuff, at least not the good ones. In Corsicana, he liked Corley Funeral Home best. It had the most opulent rooms, and anyway, that's where all the wealthy people went. But funeral homes were just a hobby. He wasn't a funeral director. He was an accountant, just 10 years shy of collecting his Social Security so he could retire. And if he stood in front of his closet any longer, he'd be late for work. He pulled into his parking space at 7:55 a.m. He'd spent the full 10-minute commute imagining that he was driving a newer car instead of his 5-year-old Lexus. Putting that fantasy on hold, he grabbed his weathered briefcase and entered the front door of the best-known business in Corsicana, the Collins Street Bakery, which, if you didn't know, is the world's most renowned purveyor of fruitcakes. He braced himself for the yeasty scent of baked bread and for small talk with his co-workers. People were always polite, but they'd never really warmed up to him, despite his attempts. He remembered important anniversaries. He wished them happy birthday, and he was quick to compliment haircuts and new outfits. But his efforts made little difference. Ever since he'd arrived in town, shoot, probably his whole life, Sandy Jenkins had felt invisible. He knew what they whispered behind his back. People around town said they just couldn't get him talking at a party. His wife was a hoot and a holler, said one woman in Corsicana. He had zero personality. He seemed destined to be thought of as that little old bitty toothpicky man, as another resident put it, with droopy eyes, a weak chin, and the personality of an aged basset hound. You know who got respect? Bob McNutt. Everybody would agree with that. And of course he did, because Bob ran the bakery. But even if he didn't, people would have held him in high regard. Thanks to his successful father, the previous owner of the fruitcake factory, Bob had traveled the world. He could show friends pictures of himself sitting at Hemingway's desk in Cuba. He could entertain employees with stories about Costa Rica, where the company had planted its own crops to better control the quality of the papayas and pineapples that make the Collins Street Bakery's fruitcakes so special. Bob was wealthy, but he didn't flaunt it. His shirts were nice, but not flashy. He gave to charity, and he didn't brag around the office if he traveled on a private jet. He had a dry, endearing wit. I'm sure you've entered my office just so you can see what the world's most handsome CEO looks like up close. That's the type of thing Bob would say. Not that Sandy knew him well. They worked near each other. Sandy could see Bob's office from his door, and they attended the same church, yet they'd only had a few interactions over the years. Sandy's was a distant admiration. Sometimes he would sit at his desk and recapture his morning fantasy. In it, he would be a little bit like Bob McNutt.